Hi, friends, and welcome to Bayou de Beltway. I'm your host, Pearson Cross. Today, we are joined by Dr. Stephen Barnes, who is director of the Kathleen Babineaux Blanco Center for Public Policy. Dr. Barnes was born in Baton Rouge. He went to Baton Rouge Magnet, Go Bulldogs, college at LSU, where he got an economics bachelor's of science. Then for grad school, he went over to UT Austin, where he got a PhD in economics. He worked in the private sector for about a year before returning to LSU as an assistant professor of economics and researcher in the department, eventually becoming director of the Economics and Policy Research Group at LSU, then moved over to UL Lafayette last year as director of an inaugural director of the Kathleen Babineaux Blanco Public Policy Center. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
You have training as an economist, so tell me about that first. What drew you to economics generally? What do you find interesting about economics, and what kind of work do you do?
Sure. So you mentioned that I'm originally from Louisiana. Growing up in Louisiana, though neither of my parents is was a native resident of Louisiana, I think growing up and being part of this community naturally opened my eyes to a lot of things and raised a lot of questions. I think Louisiana is a state with a lot of wonderful resources, great people, wonderful culture, but certainly a state with some social challenges and economic challenges. And kind of just seeing patterns of a lot of friends and family, who, you know, moving from place to place, pursuing better jobs. These are things that really got me thinking about, you know, what can we do, you know, to take an area like Louisiana that has a legacy of some challenging issues that have been stubborn to try to solve, and, you know, find a way to really move the needle on some of those things. And in economics, to me, was a great framework for looking at some of these problems and a toolkit to be able to dive deep and really do some research to hopefully find some solutions.
They call economics the dismal science, don't they?
That's an old nickname that we have struggled to shake.
Yeah, but is that true?
I find economics to be a very exciting discipline. Okay. Everyone I talk to who has taken one course in economics mm-hmm. either seems to absolutely love it or absolutely hate it. And you know, it's a field that I think opens the door to looking at a lot of different questions, and really focuses on a core set of analytical tools that I think really help shed some light on some really tough questions.
Absolutely. Well, when you go look for support for anything, you always, you know, try to find out what the economics of the issue are and all of those sorts of things, and you look at the statistics and so on. Did you do a lot of statistics with your particular kind of research, or are you kind of mathematically oriented, or is it more on the social sciencey side?
Yeah, I definitely lean pretty heavily on the statistics side. I think, you know, the data that I have to answer any question, I think, is the key starting point, making sure we have a really clear sense of what the current status of a situation might be, as well as looking at historical trends in those data to see where we think things might be in the future. So I'm definitely more statistically oriented. In my graduate program, there's certainly a strong emphasis on the quantitative side of the discipline, and, you know, I completed the full econometrics sequence, which
wow.
is a four-course graduate sequence to make sure you're really ready for jumping into that type of research.
Well, let's talk about what you're doing now. You've taken the position of director of the Blanco Center for Public Policy. This is a kind of a new institution to a lot of people, of course, named after Kathleen Blanco, and with her and her family's support and the support of the university. What is the mission of the Blanco Center?
I'll give you the shorter answer, which is really our core purpose that sort of sums up everything that we're trying to do is to advance evidence-based public policy to make Louisiana a better place to live and work.
Okay, that could be interpreted any number of ways. Can you give me a little bit more in terms of
– Yeah.
So what does that mean? Unpack that for us.
When we talk about advancing evidence-based public policy, that really means two things to me. That means work that we're going to do on the research side. You know, I think really first and foremost, we will be a research center, and And advancing that policy is going to be evidenced by the work that we do, you know, diving into questions, doing data analysis of our own to try to identify answers to those questions. But we'll also be working to bring in the broader expertise of not just economists, but other social scientists and the broader group of academicians to really bring lessons learned from research more generally to the policy challenges that we're looking at here in Louisiana.
I think that's the goal of all the social sciences, don't you think?
That's exactly right. And this center is very much designed and intended to be an interdisciplinary research center. So as an economist, I certainly bring my own perspective to many of these, but I've done a lot of interdisciplinary work in my past and have been working very hard since I joined the faculty here to make those connections across campus and find that, you know, group of colleagues who also will want to partner and work on these projects with us.
Absolutely. What kind of effect do you imagine? Are there certain areas that the Blanco Center is maybe going to focus on more than others?
Yes, we've got kind of some priority areas of focus, and those are things that that really reflect areas of focus of Governor Blanco during her time in public service. Those include education, poverty and economic opportunity, criminal justice reform, governmental ethics, healthcare, and the coast and environment.
Oh, just that, huh?
Just that. So that's our starting point.
Nice. Now, those are all areas that, to some extent, Kathleen Blanco was associated with. I mean, it's named after her. Some of her dollars have gone into it, dollars that she's contributed to fundraising. Is her imprint on the Blanco Center? I mean, is she a presence?
She is absolutely a presence. I think something that I'm very thankful for is having had an opportunity to talk with her about this center and what were her hopes for what we could accomplish with this center. I think in terms of topics of research that I've tackled in the past, it was really exciting for me to see the alignment between what she was prioritizing, what she wanted to see for the future of Louisiana, and the things that I had already started to work on, things that I was very excited to be working on in the future. So she's had a big influence on shaping and structuring this, and since I've taken this position and had a chance to start meeting with a lot of other policy leaders throughout Louisiana, her legacy and I think the impact that she had on a lot of people is clearly still a very tangible thing. And I've had a lot of people offer their enthusiasm and support for the center.
I was going to ask you that question. You know, she passed fairly recently, and there was such an outwelling of support and love for her from all over the state and from different people who respected and honored her for her work in the state. And I was just wondering if that kind of was a breath of wind under the Blanco Center's sails as you kind of set out, because you are very new in terms of the center.
That's right. That's right. It was really within the first month of me taking this position that she passed away. So that was a big shock for, you know, to her family. Obviously, not something that they didn't know would happen, but a very challenging period of time. But we saw a very strong outpouring of support. We actually had quite a few contributions to the center and immediately following her passing. And again, I think kind of a heightened level of effort amongst a lot of her longtime friends and coworkers who have reached out to me and been very happy to step in a big way and offer their support to the Blanco Center.
Well, let's ask that question a little bit. How's the Blanco Center funded? How's it put together? Is it a combination of state and local funds or private funds, or how does that work?
So we will work off of a combination of funding. The university has really stepped up and given us the foundation of support by funding a few positions within the center, as well as a commitment to some of the facilities that we're going to need to really grow the center and make it a success. So that foundation of support gives us some general operational capacity, as well as a little bit of capacity to be able to to be a resource to legislators, be a resource to state and local government in different capacities, but to really build out a more substantial research program, we're going to be pursuing grants and other sources of external funding to support that work. And we've had a great first year already. We've had about a half a dozen grants or contracts already in place. So we're busy at work already, and that's helping to fund a couple of positions already. That's a line of work that I anticipate growing over time with a larger base of grants and that then supporting a larger research staff in-house. But there's a third important source of funding, which is, you know, fundraising on the philanthropic side, working with the UL Foundation. That's going to be really critical in the long run to give us the resources that we need to be able to tackle the questions that people may not be asking. So give us more freedom to be able to identify problems that need to be studied and push those insights out, even if they're not something that's being asked for in a call for proposals or an RFP.
So if you can get that three-prong funding going, funding through the university, funding through philanthropic sources and grants and other kinds of contracts. That way, if one of those sources kind of has a difficult period been known to happen, then you're not completely bereft or completely dependent. You said we're. So I wonder if you could talk about that, you know, in terms of staffing and who you're bringing on board, who you'd like to bring on board.
Sure. I've been here since August, and it's been kind of a race through the process to get people in place. And as we're ramping up with a larger workload of research to be done, been working hard to recruit some talent to the center. Recently brought on board an assistant director, and that's David Neef. He's a former UL student body president and went and did a master's degree in public affairs at Indiana. And he's very
political
excited.
Science graduate, I might
That's
note.
Right. That's right. he's very excited to be back home, I know, and has jumped in and already making a big contribution. And then on the research staff funded through grants, we've got Raven Douglas, who is a recent UL master's grad and doing some outstanding work on an early childhood project that we've got with the Department of Education. And in about a week and a half, we will be bringing on board another full-time researcher, Jackson Voss, who is an LSU poli-sci major who went on, did a master's degree in public policy at the University of Michigan and has recently been working on the Hill, but excited to come back to Louisiana and bring some of that expertise here to work on our problems, on some of the questions we're looking at in the Blanco Center.
Excellent. Well, we're talking today with Dr. Stephen Barnes, who is the director of the Kathleen Babineaux Blanco Public Policy Center. We're going to take a short break and we'll talk some more when we come back.
Running a business requires smart decisions every day. Make a good decision for your company today and reach other businesses through KRVS program sponsorship. For more information, call 337-482-1437 and thank you.
I'm Eric Glass. A cop pulls a guy over because his van is swerving across the road.
Standing next to the man was a chimpanzee. The man said he was doing really well, and then he lost control of the van. And I'm like, lost control of the van? Like, at what point was the chimpanzee really in charge of this thing?
Some stories just don't fit under the daily news shows. This American Life.
Coming up Wednesday night at 7 here on KRVS.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to the show. I'm Pearson Cross, your host for Bayou to Beltway. Today we're joined by Dr. Stephen Barnes, who is, of course, director of the Kathleen Babineaux Blanco Public Policy Center. Right before we left, we were talking about how the Blanco Center is gearing up and getting ready to do all these wonderful things in many different areas of need in Louisiana in terms of producing quality research and providing the kind of data that legislators and other people need to make crucial decisions. Tell me, what are your goals? When you think about the Blanco Center, obviously I realize that we've got you here grilling you after only 6 months. That's a little tough. You're not, I don't think, fully moved into your eventual home. Have you thought about goals looking down the road? Do you have a goal for a year, a 5-year, 10-year, 15-year? Where do you see the Blanco Center going?
I've certainly put a lot of thought into sort of long-term vision for the center and what some of those goals look like. In the near term, I'm very much focused on building out that research program. I really see that as the foundation for the center. And that's something that over time, you know, there will be some ebbs and flows. We'll need to staff up when we've got bigger projects or more projects. And there will be times where there's a little less going on in that on that frontier. But I really see probably for the next 2 or 3 years that being something that we're just continuing to grow. You know, we've been able to get some great staff in place already, but I could see us in a position potentially to add one more person even this spring. And as time passes, we'll have a clearer picture of what's that equilibrium look like in terms of the size of the research staff. But I definitely see that as something that's going to be in a growth phase for at least the next 2 to 3 years in a pretty noticeable way. But alongside that research program, you know, we want to be working to make sure that we're not doing this in a bubble, that the work that we're doing is having an impact on the community, the state, you know, and through that policy channel especially. So we will be hosting events, and we've got one coming up.
Yeah, tell me soon. About your upcoming event.
So on March 3rd, we're going to be hosting the inaugural session of the Blanco Center Public Policy Series. This is something that we hope to do on a recurring basis. And this year, we've got some phenomenal partners that have really helped us put together what I think is going to be a fantastic program. So the program this year is going to focus on the Reset Louisiana Initiative, which is an effort put together by the Committee of 100, the Council for Better Louisiana, and the Public Affairs Research Council. And so we've been working with them to really lay out a program that will dive deeper into a few of the policy areas that they have been looking at with that Reset program. And our goal really is to get as many legislators into that room as possible for some very serious, in-depth, nonpartisan discussions to talk about how do we really move the needle on a few of these things. So that is going to be very much focused on taking some of these ideas that have been talked about and developed through that Reset program and pushing a little bit further towards really making some actions that will you know, start to move Louisiana in a positive direction in each of those areas.
Well, I know one of my during my conversations with Kathleen Blanco, she frequently mentioned that she had a desire to provide training for public officials that, you know, that people who got into office didn't necessarily know a lot, at least initially, about public policy, about state policy, about issue areas, and that included legislators as well. Maybe a shock to people, but you don't need any special qualifications to run for office in Louisiana. So I know that was a big part of her mission as well. Couple of questions. Is there kind of an optimum staff size that you see when you think? Do you think, well, 12 people would be good if we had, say, 7, 8 researchers and then 4 or 5 staff people? Or are you thinking smaller? Or it's just going to go where the funding takes you?
You know, I think the real answer to that question is it's going to go where the funding takes us. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned early on this sort of 3 sources of funding, and having the support of the university is a critical foundation for the Blanco Center. But I think there is a huge opportunity on the grants and contract side of things, but also a lot of potential on the philanthropic giving side of things. And I think when you look at other research centers around the country, some of the largest centers that really have their own track of research, mm-hmm. a lot of that is supported through their endowments.
Yeah, they're private. So the Pew Center for Public or the Annenberg Center or the
– That's right.
They have these big endowments, and that allows them the freedom. And that freedom's crucial, right, because sometimes the research you do may be sensitive. I'm thinking right now, you know, thinking about the ITEP, you know, the Industrial Tax Exemption Program. Obviously, that's a program that's enormously important. It's very – hot in terms of debate statewide, and you know, you need some. How do you envision the Blanco Center handling those kind of issues? It's an issue that's critical to the state, but it's also an issue that raises people's blood pressure.
Yeah, I think a lot of the projects that we work on will will be oriented towards policy questions where we don't necessarily have all stakeholders aligned and agreeing on the direction to move. So I think that's that sort of tension is something that we're prepared for. In my prior research, when I was at LSU, certainly did a number of studies on very policy relevant topics that where you're not always delivering the news that people wanted to hear. So that's welcome
to my world.
Yeah, yeah, and sometimes that can be a little uncomfortable, but that's ultimately the most important time, I think, to be doing this research, to make sure that you've got, and I think that elevates the level of effort, the level of quality in what you must produce. So the data analysis needs to be done that much more carefully, uh-huh. and literature reviews that much more thoroughly. So I would also say I think that's an important reason why this kind of research needs to be based at the university. There are a number of other groups across Louisiana doing good work. There are also some groups that focus on particular topics or have their own particular orientation or ideology even. But I think what we really want to focus on is doing the in-depth research with that academic independence to be able to find the answer, whether it's the one that anybody expected it to be or not.
And I guess that would be part of a problem. We're talking, by the way, with Dr. Stephen Barnes, who's the director of the Kathleen Babineaux Blanco Public Policy Center. I guess that would be one of the problems. Your center is named for a very strong Democrat and a Democratic leader. And so the question then becomes, well, is the data you're producing going to be Democratic leaning? Is it a liberal public policy center? And so your response to that would be?
Well, I know that Governor Blanco is a very recognizable member of the Democratic Party, but I know that she was also very focused on practical solutions and somebody who was willing to work across the aisle and embraced that kind of collaboration to find solutions for the betterment of Louisiana. And in talking with her before I took the position, that was something she made very clear to me, is that she wanted this research center to be helping move Louisiana forward, but not to be aligned with any political ideology.
Yeah, and I think at the end of her life, she was, regretting not necessarily her own actions, but regretting the kind of partisan cast to a lot of the politics in the state. She had seen the state as being less partisan than national government, but we were becoming more partisan, and I think she regretted that a little bit. Let's switch gears here just a little bit. You've been named as the economist on the Louisiana Revenue Estimating Committee, the REC, taking over for Jim Richardson, who, geez, what was he there for, 25 years or something like that. What's the role of the REC in the state budget process? And
so the Revenue Estimating Conference was created to try to get some of the politics out of the budgeting process. And the name of that that group says a lot. So it's the Revenue Estimating Conference, and I think the focus is really the task is to determine what level of revenues the state can expect given the current law. And obviously, the legislature has an important role in changing how tax revenues are collected over time and changing how expenditures are allocated over time. And so the Revenue Estimating Conference, really has a very narrow and limited focus, which is to say, given what tax law looks like today, here's how much revenue we think will come in the upcoming fiscal years.
Now, that's a moving target, right? And it's a target that now let's see. The other members on your team are the Commissioner of Administration, right, Jay Darden,
that's right.
And then the President of the Senate, Paige Cortez, and the Speaker of the House,
Clay Schneider.
Clay Schneider. I'm glad you said that name, Schneider. Have you had a meeting yet with those people?
We've had one meeting as an REC at the end of January, and which was my second meeting overall. And so, I think as a relatively new member to the conference, you know, I can, I'm happy to acknowledge that there is a pretty steep learning curve. You know, while I said earlier that there's a narrow focus of of estimating revenues, there's a long stream of revenues, and there are some other kind of budgetary complexities to the full range of things that we're looking at when we are presented with a forecast.
One of the things actually I think makes it easier, you know, you're taking over for Jim Richardson, who was there for so long, but some of the dissension that's come in lately over whether to recognize certain levels of revenue or not happened while he was still there. So in a way, that frees you up to either be a proponent for recognizing or not, you know, so you really, you know, it's not always kumbaya at the committee, as I understand.
That's right. And the two meetings that I've attended as a member resulted in no agreement on the core set of revenues. And the system is designed to require unanimous votes. So there are four members of the conference, and all four members have to agree in order to recognize
revenues.
So what
happens when you don't agree?
No new forecast is adopted.
So the old forecast stays in place.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
I gotcha. Do you expect now, recently we've, and I'm going to ask you a political question. If you don't feel comfortable answering, don't. Recently, you know, we've elected quite a Republican legislature, and then we also turned around and elected a Democratic governor. Do you expect the Revenue Estimating Conference to get more contentious or more partisan as we go through the next 4 years?
You know, it's hard to say, and I will emphasize that I'm an economist.
So on the other hand,
not an expert in politics,
yeah, exactly.
But you know, my impressions of the Senate and House leadership are that they are genuinely looking to find a path forward. That, you know, working with the governor, I think it's very clear that the governor is looking for a collaborative path forward. So I'm optimistic that. That we will find a working path forward on the Revenue Estimating Conference. We have one meeting to look back at with this new leadership, and that meeting didn't end, I think, as anybody necessarily expected it to. But I think there was clearly a desire on both sides of the debate to find a compromise. I just think in that first meeting, we just didn't have quite the space and time to really iron out what that would look like.
This may be inside baseball, but the Blanco Center is going to be putting out economic papers and doing research in the area of state economics. How is that information going to inform your judgment on the Revenue Estimating Committee?
Well, for a long time, I've been doing economic studies in Louisiana, and I think it's now more important than ever in my career that I'm tracking the Louisiana economy very closely. And so the research that we're doing at the Blanco Center will certainly be something that I'm drawing on to try to make sure that I'm offering good input into that process.
I'm not sure that you don't already have those political skills well honed. We've been talking this morning with Director of the Kathleen Babineaux Blanco Public Policy Center, Dr. Stephen Barnes. Thanks for coming to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Bayou to Beltway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, or members. To listen to a podcast of the interview we just heard, go to krvs.org.
We all make mistakes in life. Si tu avais manqué la dernière Franco mix, c'est OK. Tu peux m'écouter this Thursday at 9 p.m. seulement sur KRVS 88.7 avec Drake Benoit LeBlanc. Et c'est formidable.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird.
Hi, this is Lee Klein, Peter, with an invite to join me for some music that stood the test of time from the 40s all the way up into the 70s. It's the music of the Old Gold Show coming up this Thursday at noontime on your public radio connection in Acadiana. That's 88.7 and also on the web at krvs.org. Lee Klein, Peter, Old Gold coming up noon Thursdays on KRVS.
This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
John Kennedy.